Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The opening of the 2013 edition of the OK Mozart Festival in Bartlesville is a little over a week away. Activities get underway next weekend. This year with a new artistic director and a new thematic vision for the festival. My guest today is that director, Constantine Katsopoulos, who brings a wide range of musical experience to the post, from opera and symphony conducting at venues like Carnegie Hall and the Royal Albert Hall to the theater orchestras on Broadway. Currently, Katsopoulos heads the Queen Symphony Orchestra in New York City, the Chatham Opera, and is also the music director of a summer festival, the Festival of the Arts Boca in Florida. With his post, Katsopoulos wants the festival to have an overarching theme each year, and for his inaugural season, the theme is America the Beautiful, and the festival will feature American music and music inspired by America, such as the Dvorak New World Symphony, and feature music from the symphonic stage, classic American film, Broadway, to other distinct American genres like bluegrass and Western swing. Constantine Katsopoulos joins us today to preview this year's edition of the OK Mozart Festival, kicking off June 9th in Bartlesville with a wide variety of events. Constantine Katsopoulos, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when we were speaking last fall, when you were first named as the new artistic director of the OK Mozart Festival, you said, I really want to get into thematic program. And this year, you've at least started down that road of really having a true thematic journey for every event at OK Mozart Festival, or at least the main events of OK Mozart Festival.
Yes, indeed. I mean, as we talked about a little bit earlier, it is a bit of a work in progress, but we wanted to jump right into the thematic programming idea and get started with it. And so virtually all the music that's being performed at the festival is by American composers, or at least related to American music in some way or another.
And really, after a kickoff on Saturday, you're actually starting concerts on Sunday. So the festival's really kind of a day shorter this year. What went into that decision?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because I thought it was a day longer. in the sense that, you know, the times that I've been here before, I've been here as a guest, and so I always thought that the concert started a little bit later in the week. Maybe I have that wrong, but I guess the traditional kickoff to the festival was always a huge thing with fireworks and so forth in one of the parks in Bartlesville. And this year we've decided to approach it a little bit differently. First of all, we need that first Saturday we need for rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first program that we're doing on Sunday is pretty complex to put together. But there will be a block party that opens the festival. I think it happens on
Saturday.
On Saturday evening, which will feature a bunch of local bands that are going to come in. And Frank and Lola's, which is a wonderful restaurant downtown, is sponsoring that kickoff block party event. But yeah, the first concert, which is on Sunday, it's a Sunday afternoon, is The Wizard of Oz, and where we're projecting the movie on the big screen.
You'll be following the cues along?
Yes, and the orchestras, we're going to play the music live.
Now, this is sort of interesting, because as a musical, I assume you're still going to have the vocal tracks, and so you'll have to coordinate with the vocal tracks.
Yeah, there's a guy that puts these film programs together. His name is John Goberman. He's the former executive producer of Life from Lincoln Center, and I've been working with him for a long time. And what he does with films, and we do several films together. We do Wizard of Oz. We do Psycho, which is a wonderful piece to do. We do some excerpt programs, some other Hitchcock excerpt programs.
I think he's also done Alexander Nevsky, which
is Alexander Nevsky, which is a wonderful, wonderful piece.
Yeah.
He has a technical crew that actually sits and scrubs out the orchestra from the track, from the soundtrack. And of course, Wizard of Oz, when he first put that together, maybe about 10 years ago, I want to say. The problem with The Wizard of Oz, unlike other films, is that he couldn't find the separate orchestra tracks. So it had to be someone sitting in front of a computer screen, digitally scrubbing out the orchestra and leaving Judy Garland and the rest of the cast and the sound effects and all of that on the film. So it's
wow, that sounds very painstaking. Did you think about how they recorded in 1938 and 39?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume it was just, you know, everybody standing in, you know, in a big room with the soloist, sort of like a old Broadway cast album, except everything's not separately tracked. It was probably direct to one or two tracks, maybe.
Well, I mean, the way Wizard of Oz was done, the way I understand it originally, is you had separate tracks for the orchestra, for the vocals. I mean, a separate tape. There was no multi-track recording until Les Paul came around. But the way it was done is they'd have one tape, which was to which they recorded the orchestra, another one to which they recorded the vocals, another one for sound effects. And the way those things were edited together is with a razor blade and magnetic tape. I mean, I think both of us are old enough to remember how that got done. But and then they would play all these things back and record it onto another tape and then transfer that to an optical track, which is what the way soundtracks used to be done on movies.
But most of that stuff is all gone now, right?
It's all gone now. It's all digital editing. And as a result, that one of the challenges of doing a film like this is that if you listen to the movie, let's say you listen to Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, right? Which is supposed to be a straight ahead march in 2/4 time. You know, bum, bum, ba dum, bum, 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 ba dum, bum, bum. Well, because of the way it was edited, sometimes the editor cut that tape just a 30-second note early. So every once in a while, at the end of a phrase, you have to jump ahead. So it's a big challenge to make that happen. And it takes a lot of intense rehearsal.
Now, how do you conduct something like that? Because if, you know, it's basically you're turning straight ahead 2/4 to some Stravinsky-like thing, you know, where it's 31/32.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you can't really conduct that, can you?
No,
you just sort of have to jump.
You just have to jump ahead. You know, I mean, I've done this particular project around the country many, many times. So, and the first time I did it was up at the Blossom Festival in Ohio, and I spent probably 2 months with the film and the score, going through it 2 or 3 times a day.
So it was
literally
just ingrained.
You just have to learn it. You have to know it.
Because doggone it, that recording is not going to move for you, is it?
That's the one thing is on the one hand, after each performance, I can say, you know what? I've worked with Judy Garland. But on the other hand, she's not going to change anything she does.
Well, that opens the festival in earnest on Sunday, June 9th. It's an afternoon concert.
Mm-hmm.
Wizard of Oz on the big screen with the Amici New York Orchestra. My guest today is Constantine Katsopoulos, the new artistic director for OK Mozart. The theme this year is America the Beautiful, and it's reflected in all the evening concerts at the OK Mozart Festival, June 8th through the 15th. Now, the following day, you come back with an evening of bluegrass. The orchestra is getting ready for all the performances later in the week. And tell us about this evening.
Well, Noam Pokelny is bringing a group of musicians with him, and he's a virtuoso banjo player, and this guy is just amazing. He takes bluegrass to a completely different level. The first time I saw him or heard him play was on the David Letterman show, and Steve Martin was a guest, and Steve, of course, is a great banjo player himself. And apparently he's created some kind of a banjo foundation and brought Noam on to the show to give him an award. And they played, the old dueling banjos thing. And as they were dueling, Noam got progressively more and more intense in what he was doing. And you could see, you know, Steve kind of looking over at him saying, well, I don't know if I can do that, you know. But it was really, and he's a great personality, too, a great guy. So I'm really looking forward to hearing him.
That'll be a Monday evening, June 10th, an evening of bluegrass with Noam Pokelny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we think of innovative banjo players, we think of Bela Fleck.
Right.
He's perhaps taking it in a more traditional route, but he still is about as innovative as Bela Fleck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about the banjo, you don't think of it as a concert instrument, but Bela Fleck, of course, has taken it way beyond, the traditional uses of that instrument. And Noam is going a step further and a step sideways, which I think is really great for the instrument.
All right, that is Monday, June 10th. The following night, your chamber music, that's always been the chamber music night at the festival. It continues to be. And we should just maybe stop and talk a little about the chamber music, because this year, Miro Quartet is your sort of quartet in residence, and will anchor all of the afternoon performances as well as the evening performances. Paul Neubauer, who had been with the festival as a left now, and so now is the Miro going to be your go-to ensemble, or is that just the go-to ensemble for this year? What's the plan for chamber music?
Well, the plan for chamber music is evolving as we move along. I mean, the Miro Quartet is with us this year, and we want to see how that works. We're very much looking forward to having them. It's a terrific group, and John Kimura Parker, who will be playing Gershwin Concerto in F with the orchestra later on in the week, is going to do a concert with them during the day later in the week. And so we're trying to figure out how all of that fits in, and trying out a couple of different ideas in terms of whether or not Miro is going to anchor chamber music going forward, whether John Kimura Parker will help us with that. But I think the point is that we want to present and to continue to present the highest quality of performances in chamber music and the biggest variety that we can in the coming years.
You know, that's one thing that the festival always did. I mean, really, when you think about it, you had the big evening concerts, but probably just sheer number of events, it's been a chamber music festival over the last few years.
Yeah, yeah, and there's chamber music every day, and that's there are not many other places where you have that experience.
Well, and also have the chamber, such a heavy chamber music schedule with the evening concerts with the orchestra.
Yeah, know? Well, I mean,
it's either usually one or the other.
Yeah, you know, but what the festival has found over the years is that there is an avid group of chamber music lovers that love the idea of being in a smaller space and experiencing the music, kind of, you know, being right on top of the music, which is what chamber music experience is supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier that the theme of the festival and the idea of doing all the programming around the theme is evolving. Mm-hmm. In the case of the afternoon chamber music concerts, this is where it is a work in progress, because they'll be on Monday. They'll be doing two Beethoven quartets. In Haka, we'll be back with you for that. Will be a program of American music.
Yes.
And then later in the week, John Kimura Parker joins them, and I think I've seen a Dvorak piano quintet, Brahms piano quartet, and it's quite a ambitious lineup of music.
Well, the Miro has just finished doing a recording of some of the late Beethoven quartets, and so it's in their fingers, and they've been going around the country performing those quartets, and so it made sense to have them do that. For a variety of reasons. The Dvorak is an interesting idea. I mean, it is, believe it or not, loosely related to the theme of America the Beautiful, because Wednesday night we're playing Dvorak New World Symphony, which, of course, was written in the United States during the 2 or 3 years that Dvorak spent in the U.S. So Dvorak has a connection there to the U.S. and said, "Okay, I'll admit that the piano quintet might be a bit of a stretch of a connection, but we wanted to see if we could make that connection anyway."
Yeah. Now on the Tuesday evening concert, the Miro Quartet will be playing, but also you'll have the Amici Woodwind Sextet. So I guess that's the principal players from your orchestra.
Yes. Yes. And we want to involve the Amici players more and more in chamber music. It's an extraordinary world class group of musicians, and we've thought Adria Benjamin, who is artistic administrator, and I have long wanted to give them a bit more of an opportunity to shine as individuals.
And I know in previous years, it's just, you've got how many concerts, 4 or 5 concerts over the course of a week to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
That's a busy schedule, and then you add in a chamber music commitment, and it makes it very difficult for the, some of them. I mean, they're really working hard.
They sure are. We're rehearsing. Everybody, they're ongoing rehearsals all day long. every day of the festival so that we can make sure that whatever we present in the evenings is well prepared.
And so on Tuesday night, it is chamber music with the Miro Quartet and the Amici Woodwind Sextet. And then the following night, the orchestra comes back, and mm-hmm. this is the concert where you'll have the Dvorak New World Symphony. Tell us a little about this program.
Well, we're starting off with a piece by Jared Tate.
An Oklahoma composer.
An Oklahoma native. And it's the interesting thing about investigating Jared's music is that when I was working on the programming several months ago, Jared's name kept coming up, and I thought to myself, okay, well, this guy's name sounds really familiar to me. And back in September or so, I called him on the phone to talk about his piece, and he said, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And as if we'd known each other for years. And in fact, we have known each other for years. He was a keyboard player in Denver in 1993 when I came through with a tour of the Secret Garden, Denver Center Theater, and he was a sub in the orchestra. So we have known each other for a long time. So it was nice to reconnect with him. His music takes Native American melodies and traditions and kind of melds it into a symphonic form, which is really quite interesting. Heavy on the percussion, as you might imagine, but a very well put together kind of a composer. And then we're doing Chacon from a film called The Red Violin, the music by John Corigliano. It's a very beautiful, mysterious kind of a piece. And Erica Kiesewetter, our concert mistress, is going to play the solo on that. And then, of course, the Dvorak New World Symphony, which is the only piece that the Amici Orchestra is playing all week that is not by an American composer. But as I mentioned before, it was written in the United States and is derived from what Dvorak heard in the U.S. in terms of Native American music and African-American music.
African-American spiritual. The second movement is coming home.
It's a piece that whether people know it as the New World Symphony or not, they've heard the tunes before, and it's a glorious piece of music.
That is Wednesday at the OK Mozart Festival, Wednesday, June 12th, as we talk about the schedule with Constantine Katsopoulos, a new artistic director who will be conducting the orchestra for that concert, as well as all the orchestra concerts this year. The following night, Thursday night, has always been the night where it's a little bit something different. And this year, you're going not only with American music, but American music from our backyard. Depending if you're south of the Red River, you call it Texas swing, but up here north of the Red River, we call it Western swing.
Right.
And it is certainly our music, and it's with the Hot Club of Cowtown.
Yeah.
A great trio, violin, bass, rhythm guitar, and three great singers, and they're just a fun group.
It is a lot of fun. It's great to see. I'm a big fan of taking several different kinds of music, mashing them together, and coming up with something new. You know, I do that in the symphonic world all the time. And no matter what kind of swing you call it, it's really taken the best of so many different worlds of popular music and made it into this great, great swinging kind of stuff. And yeah, the vocals are great. And
well, you know, that three instruments, you know, if it was in Paris, it would be gypsy jazz or something like that. And here in this part of the country, it's Western swing.
Right, yeah.
Or cowboy.
Swing. I've heard that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Riders in the Sky, that sort of thing. It's mm-hmm. the same instrumentation. But it is a lot of fun music, and it's just toe-tapping, good, fun music.
You'll walk out of the hall smiling, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and that's the Hot Club of Cowtown on Thursday, June 13th. On the 14th, you're back at Willow Rock, and this year you've kind of, getting back to the very beginning concert, you're doing the American movie music, a lot of American movie music on this concert.
Yeah, most of the first half will be music by John Williams, Elmer Bernstein, and Henry Mancini. The second half, we'll be doing a lot of patriotic music that will lead us into the fireworks. that cap off the evening. But, you know, American film music is some of the greatest music around. And if you can imagine a film without music, it's not very effective. The music is what gives quite a bit of the emotional impact to a film. And a lot of that music is great on its own merits.
If you hear The Magnificent Seven by Elmer Bernstein, as soon as you hear it, you have this mental picture.
Yeah.
E.T. or Raiders of the Lost Ark. That music gives you internal pictures probably better than just about anything.
Yeah, yeah. And some of that music has become just absolutely iconic in terms of the American musical landscape. Take Alfred Hitchcock, for example. And take the movie Psycho and that famous shower scene and the music that accompanies that. I mean, everybody knows. All you have to do is play the first two notes and everybody knows what it's from.
That's right. Another great score is North by Northwest, which has the train motive, it's really a musical onomatopoeia for a good part of it.
You know, the interesting thing about North by Northwest and that score is, you know, Bernard Herrmann had to be the original minimalist. If you take a look at just the opening credits and listen to the music for that, I'm going to have the great fortune of making my debut with the New York Philharmonic in September, and we're going to be doing excerpts from Hitchcock films, and we do a whole section from North by Northwest. It's just an amazing score.
So what are you doing here in Bartlesville with Bernard Herrmann? Are you doing a Bernard?
We're not doing any Bernard Herrmann at Will Rock.
Tell us what you are going to do.
Well, we're going to do a bunch of John Williams stuff. We're going to do a suite from Star Wars, a suite from E.T., and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. We're going to do The Magnificent Seven by Elmer Bernstein. And then we have a wonderful medley of Henry Mancini tunes from movies, you know. He wrote Moon River,
right?
Which is iconic, and Pink Panther, and many other films.
That will be Friday night at the Willow Rock Outdoor Concert. Fireworks at the end, patriotic music as well, at the OK Mozart Festival. And then the final grand finale concert will feature John Kimura Parker, who's been working with the chamber music all week long. But it's a all-American night with Gershwin and Copland.
Yeah, and the Bartlesville Choral Society is going to be joining us, which I'm very excited about. I know that they've worked with the festival in the past, and so that's going to be a lot of fun to work with them. The Gershwin Concerto in F that Jackie Parker is going to play with us is a great piece. Again, Gershwin is, I think, one of the things about American composers and American music is that so many American composers had their hands in so many different kinds of music. The Concerto in F is a piece meant for the concert stage, but then again, Gershwin wrote popular songs.
You can hear Broadway in it.
Broadway.
You can hear movies. You can
jazz,
hear all sorts of things.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's kind of typical of American composers. And then Aaron Copland, we're going to do the first set of the Old American Songs of the Bartlesville Choral Society. Again, Aaron Copland wrote mostly music for the concert stage, but he also wrote film music. He also wrote music for the theater. And then Norm Lewis is going to be joining us. Norm Lewis, who is he's a star on the TV show Scandal. I don't know that show, but he's on that program. I did a year with him. As Porgy in the Broadway production of Porgy and Bess, and he was nominated for a Tony Award, and he's going to sing some songs from the American Songbook.
Well, it sounds like a great schedule of events, and I assume the OK Mozart Festival will continue with a lot of showcase events. So it's a situation whether you're coming from out of state or just coming up from Tulsa for the day, where you can go up first thing in the morning, see something, some local music at some point during the day, take in the chamber music concert during the day, and then an evening performance.
Yeah,
that's one of the great things about the festival.
Exactly, and you can enjoy some of the local restaurants that are in Bartlesville. It's a great town to be in. It's got a great downtown, and there's visual art, there's restaurants, there's music. there's all sorts of things going on during the festival. And the full schedule of the events is on our website, which is okmozart.com. One thing I wanted to mention about The Wizard of Oz is if you buy a ticket to The Wizard of Oz and you've got kids that you want to bring along, kids under 12 get in free with their parents or with an adult.
Yeah, so it sounds like a fun schedule. Now, you've been coming to the Mozart Festival how many years? I know you've guest conducted at least a couple of times.
I've guest conducted twice, uh-huh. 2 years.
Now, you have an orchestra that some of them have been coming up for, you know, since the early 80s.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're almost like honorary citizens in Bartlesville.
Right.
I mean, they have lots of relationships. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to having that sort of relationship with the town? Because I'm sure you've heard from members of the orchestra that this has always been a sort of special place for them as far as their summertime schedule.
Yeah, you know, I've developed some good friendships already along the way. There's some really great people in Bartlesville, really kind of can-do type of people. It's really been a joy to get to know these folks. Mark and Debbie Haskell are some of my favorite people in Bartlesville. I've gotten to know them really well, and it's nice to hang out with them. Chris Oldroyd and a whole bunch of people that are just great and have been working either volunteering or being on or been on the board or been on the office staff. You know, there are a lot of really dedicated people that are working to make this festival happen.
Right. The theme this year is America the Beautiful, and I assume you're already thinking about next season at this point.
Yes, yes. So we're actually, in terms of artistic plan, I've got the next four seasons kind of mapped out. You know, it could be that we interchange some of that stuff, but at least we have a plan from which we can work and we can tweak things along the way. But yeah.
All right. Well, we look forward to the results this year and in coming years. Constantine Katsopoulos, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Constantine Katsopoulos is the new artistic director of the OK Mozart Festival. The 2013 edition of the festival opens on Sunday, June 9th at 2 o'clock with a film showing of the classic film The Wizard of Oz with live accompaniment by the Amici New York Orchestra and Katsopoulos conducting. The festival continues with events each day and evening through Saturday, June 15th. Information at okmozart.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. We're going to leave you with one of the vintage works that will be performed during the festival, the Dvorak New World Symphony. Here's a portion here on Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher.